Invasive insects, plants, pathogens, and animals are wreaking havoc on Pennsylvania's waterways, forests, trees, and wildlife. A statewide survey conducted by the Pennsylvania Governor's Invasive Species Council found more than 100 invasive species that include spotted lanternfly, mile-a-minute vine, Japanese stilt grass, zebra mussels, and more. Joining us on The Spark today to discuss the spread of invasive species and what the state is doing about it is Fred Strathmeyer, the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture's Deputy Secretary for Consumer Protection and Plant Industry and Chair of the Multi-Agency Governor's Invasive Species Council. Deputy Secretary Strathmeyer, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good to be back. So the big question, why are these invasive species a problem?
Well, invasive species are nothing new to this state or to our nation, quite frankly. We've been dealing with this type of invasion, if you will, of non-native material for centuries, quite frankly. So nothing new. I will say that I think that in this day and age where we've become more of a worldwide market, the opportunity for invasives to come from distant lands is much more pervasive today.
So in other words, what you're saying is there are more of them than what there were maybe 100 or 200 years ago.
Correct. And more of an opportunity, as much as, you know, our ports and airports are screened and the job that they do, you're talking about something that could be microscopic. So not always easy to find these issues.
You know, when you look back at the history of this, I didn't realize this. I'm sure a lot of other people don't realize that the white-tailed deer is an invasive species here in Pennsylvania. And there are others, honeybees, that we take for granted today. We see every day here in Pennsylvania, but they were not native to Pennsylvania.
Well, again, I think that the clarification there, though, Scott, is invasive versus species that have come here that have become more, if you will, native to the land we have. You know, what we're dealing with when you're talking about invasives are plant material, insects that actually do economic harm. So those are some things to keep in mind as you're thinking about where we were and where we are.
So who or what are these invasive species a danger to?
Well, I think that the critical piece is to us as human beings, because ultimately those invasives can affect our crops, our livelihoods, as far as commerce moving from state to state. Our ability to enjoy the environment that we live in. So those are some of the keys, I think, Scott.
Are there any that are maybe a physical danger to humans?
Well, again, as far as invasives, I personally am not aware of anything that's necessarily here in this state. Now, to answer your question, yes, there are other states and other areas of this country that are dealing with different types that are more of an issue to us. But I think one twist on this, Scott, would be is that you have to keep in mind that a lot of invasives harbor themselves in invasive type plants. And so for instance, in our woods, a lot of the tick population likes to harbor themselves in knotweed and other types of invasives that are there in that understory. And so when we go out there walking in the woods and we end up with a tick on us, we end up, you know, potentially running into Lyme disease or anything else that comes about from that. So it's not necessarily the result of the tick being invasive as much as the opportunity that tick has to survive in an invasive environment.
Now, the survey that we're talking about today that was just released, the results just released, it listed some of the impacts that invasive species have here in Pennsylvania. What are some of those impacts?
Well, again, economically, you can go to the brown marmalated stink bug that has we've seen do damage in our fruit crops, millions of dollars, and that just that's something that has been put out there in the last couple of years. Initially, when, as you know, it was more of a nuisance than it was thought to be an economic impact. You look at emerald ash borer. Emerald ash borer has devastated the ash forest, you know, that to the point where very few native ash are still around. A hugely profitable economic impact that was an economic driver here in this state, baseball bats. Now we have very few ash native to the state of Pennsylvania. So those would be two real quick ones, but there's obviously a list. What has now become spongy moth to your viewers or to your listeners would be gypsy moth in the past, but spongy moth. And again, you don't have to go very far to see devastation in our oaks across the state of Pennsylvania.
Okay, what's a spongy moth?
That is now the term for what was gypsy moth.
Why did we change the name?
Let me say it this way. I think that it was a cultural issue.
Oh, okay. All right.
That you and I don't want to get into. So we'll let it at that.
Okay, yeah. All right. But I have to admit, though, I haven't heard the term spongy moth now, but the next party I'm attending, I will bring that up, that the spongy moth has caused a lot of problems.
It'll definitely make for good conversation.
Yeah, after a few drinks especially. But the cost tied to invasive species in Pennsylvania, from what I understand, this is difficult to tie to a dollar figure, but is there a ballpark, even if it's a big ballpark figure?
Well, again, I'll go back to emerald ash borer. And you and I can sit here and try to do the math, but you're speaking about a species of a forest and a forest product that was a mainstay for an industry that still exists today, but we don't have that tree here. So I don't have any idea other than it has to be literally in the billions of dollars over the years that has affected this state and others when it comes to invasives. I wish I had a better number, but at the end of the day, all we know is that it has affected our economy here, and it will continue to affect our economy. And it doesn't have to be, Scott, just a direct impact, meaning, you know, we lost all the ash. It's that expansive conversation about, you know, where do we come up with those businesses that used to do this, and where are they today? You know, that's an economic impact.
If it's hard to pin down a dollar figure, how do you fight it? The fight to spread, that is, the state.
Well, every day, whether it's our agencies, whether it's nonprofits, conservation districts, they're all working together to partner to deal with an invasive in their area. One of the things to remember is that, you know, invasives become very personal after a while. You know, it's about your fishing hole that you used to go to, or your area in the woods that you used to be able to walk to. Now the understory is filled with an invasive type of plant that no longer can you walk in the woods. It's about the go back to the forest. It's the understory that has been, you know, devastated in some areas of this state where we no longer have the regeneration that we need of the appropriate plant material. So that's part of it. And to answer in answering your question, so we are all doing our part specifically fish and boat, for instance, and DCNR are sitting at our lakes and trying to and building on programs of cleaning boat cleaning areas and trailer cleaning areas so that we don't move these invasives from one body of water to another. Those are just, you know, some of the things, you know, that we know the DCNR has been out there spraying for what used to be gypsy moth is now spongy moth. And that is literally hundreds of thousands of acres that they've undertaken. More recently, the Department of Ag has been dealing with spotted lanternfly. And as much as we understand that, you know, it's still moving, we certainly have slowed the spread. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts that the education the local person, the people that are listening today, that their involvement has been critical to this success. So that's kind of where we're going.
I want to ask you about something that has a bureaucratic name, but it kind of is, well, it is related to what you were just discussing. The Partnerships for Regional Invasive Species Management, or PRISM. So what is that? And the word regional seems to stick out.
Right. And I think, and I'm glad you brought that up. Thanks, Scott. So this is a program that currently is in several states. New York, we have looked at New York's model. What we hope to do is to bring the work of dealing with invasives to that local, regional, as you mentioned, area. It's far easier to take on these tasks when you can break things down. Doesn't matter what task you're doing. If you can break it down to more simplified, more finite process, and that's essentially what this PRISM program is in bringing in partnerships from, like I say, conservation districts, conservancies, the Allegheny, for instance, where right now we're going to see a pilot program in the Northwest that has been spearheaded by the Allegheny Health Collaborative in the forest, the Allegheny National Forest. They were able to secure some grant money that they will be able to do an on-the-ground pilot program in 13 counties in the Northwest starting in July. We'll see how that goes, but it's a more of a proactive approach. You know, it's the adage of pay a little bit now or pay me a lot later. And that's the challenge with invasives. If once you let them get going and you do nothing with it, it ends up costing you a lot more money. And that was one of the things in the survey that we found, was that locally people are certainly trying to do some of this work, but you know, it's very costly. And you know, so we're hoping at the state level that we can get to a place where this becomes a more broadly unified approach to invasives here in the state.
What can Pennsylvanians do? I mean, is there anything that Pennsylvanians can do, I'm talking about other than government, to try to control the spread of invasive species?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is to understand what they are. I mean, start with having some knowledge as to what invasives are. I think that, again, when individuals are going to a garden center, and hopefully it's not a garden center issue, they're looking for native plants that they can start to put into the landscape as opposed to other plant material. I think that spotted lanternfly has been a perfect example, Scott, of the public, you know, engaging. It didn't matter whether it was Philadelphia or it was the rural areas of Pennsylvania. Pretty soon after 3-4 years of getting the outreach and the education out there, when it got to Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh people knew what it was and what to do with it. And again, I think that, you know, if we can just continue to create more outreach, more education, it's part of what PRISM will do. It will educate and create more outreach in a local level. And, you know, when you do that, you you create an awareness from the public that maybe you didn't have yesterday.
That outreach, something you said earlier, just kind of jumps out at me, that invasive species becomes personal after a while. We only have a minute left. A few of these invasive species seem to get more attention than others. We've mentioned the spotted lanternfly several times. The snakehead fish is another one. Is that because so many of us see the spotted lanternfly, or that snakehead is so ugly and nasty looking?
Well, I'll do it this way, since we have limited time, and that is, again, that's public awareness. That's us. And when I say us, I mean all organizations, local government, schools, working together to get information out to mom and dad, grandma and grandpa. It's that personal, hey, I didn't know about that today, and I know about it tomorrow. And anytime you can do that, and I'll go back to what I said originally, you know, when you go to your fishing hole and you can't get in there because there's a sign that says it's full of invasive stuff, that's personal. And so when you can look at situations from a personal level and equate that to, hey, here's what I can do for my neighbor. Here's what I can do for my kids. Here's what I can do for that next generation. So that's where I would leave it.
Fred Strathmeyer is the Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture's Deputy Secretary for Consumer Protection and Plant Industry and Chair of the Multi-Agency Governor's Invasive Species Council. Deputy Secretary Strathmeyer, thank you very much for being with us today.
Scott, thank you again for the time and the opportunity.
You're listening to The Spark on WITF, your home for NPR and discovering all things local. I'm Scott Lamar.